This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
That it is. Yes, welcome to Barton Hahn. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn today. Robert, you're looking sharp. How are you doing, my friend?
I got to tell you, there's nothing like looking at you on a green screen.
Yeah,
it's something, as good as it gets.
It is. And I'll tell you what, excited today because there is so much going on. Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio is brought to you, of course, by Progressive. And all guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And I'll tell you what, the New England Patriots have gone out and absolutely blown up the first 2 days of free agency. They have signed 8 free agents, the top 2 tight ends on the market, and have spent $138 million in guaranteed money. And that very well may set a record. But, Bob, this is something that the Patriots had to do. I think it's something that we all forget because while I do believe the Patriots are getting better here, I also think at the same time it was a situation where they had no other choice because of how poorly they have drafted over the last several years.
Yeah, you said it right. They had no other choice. To me, this is Bill Belichick now having to admit that he's like everybody else. He's got no quarterback. He has drafted terribly over the last 2 to 3 years. Last year, they drafted 2 tight ends. They traded up to get one of them, and it hasn't worked. So now what are they trying to do? They're trying to buy their way out of it. Now, historically, that has not worked, but it certainly seems on the surface like this is maybe Bill Belichick closer to the end of his career than the beginning of his career, saying, I am going to try to buy myself out of the problems I've created for myself. And if he succeeds, he's bucking the trend, because if you look at the teams that have tried to do this, normally it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I agree on that front. And this is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's the problem, though. I actually think the Patriots are getting better. We can talk about historically it hasn't worked for other teams. But, Bob, I'm giving Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt here with the players that he is choosing to invest in. Yes, they are in a situation where they had no choice because he hasn't done a good job in the draft. However, when he has gone out before, we understand that they have always had a lot of cap room to work with, but they haven't necessarily invested a lot of it back in the team because he's had guys that he's known what to do with. He has framed his system consistently year in and year out around the talent on his team and has played to the strengths of the players on his team. Now, having said that, there weren't a lot of strengths to work with, and that's why he did it this time. So when he goes and spends the money on Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith, and they are talking about building it like they did with the 2 tight end offense that was so proficient with Gronk and Aaron Hernandez way back in the day, I understand what he is trying to do here, and it makes a lot of sense to me for them to try and do it and for him to spend money on a guy like Matthew Judon. I get that. I think it's going to help the Patriots. I do think they are a better team, and I think they are getting closer and closer with these moves to the Dolphins and the Bills in the AFC East.
Well, Adam Schefter put it out in a tweet. I'm intimately aware of it because I call the Jet games in New York. The last 5 teams that have tried to spend money at this level, 2 have lost in the wild card round, 3 haven't made the playoffs. To me, this gets back to, again, the Patriots now becoming like everybody else. And now the Bucks get to experience what it was like to have Tom Brady bring an entire group together and go win a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick doesn't have Tom Brady anymore. So you can go out, you can get 10 tight ends. If Cam Newton's throwing them the ball the way Cam Newton threw the ball last year, they're not going to be a factor in the playoffs. Maybe they can win this division. I think the Bills are still better. And why do I think the Bills are still better? Bills have the best quarterback in the division. So I don't see it. Look, you can throw piles of money at this, and everybody gets excited on day one of free agency. When you start plucking all these big names off of other teams, everybody gets excited, and then you actually look at the full roster and realize who's at quarterback. I'm not seeing it.
Well, look at who now in the rest of the division is spending their money and how they're trying to spend it. Now, you know, the Bills have been positioned fine already. They have already put themselves in that spot because they have Josh Allen. And yeah, Belichick does not have his true winning quarterback right now. I don't believe in Cam Newton for next year. I really don't. But I also think that the second they re-signed him last week, that was a signal to me that they're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, that he's going to find a way to go and get Mac Jones or Trey Lance on his team. Now, I think when you have this amount of talent with a guy like Newton, it's giving him more to work with. What have we talked about with the Jets with Sam Darnold? Okay. We have talked about him not having nearly enough around him in terms of weapons. All they have done here is gone out and given Newton real weapons to work with. I mean, who scared you besides Julian Edelman when he was healthy with the Patriots offense the last couple of, or the last few years outside of Brady? Who truly scared you? Did Gronk 3 years ago when he was still with them? Yes. But other than that, nobody else. So, yeah, I get it. I just don't think that when I look at Newton right now, I could say he's completely bereft of any opportunity to win in the division when you've gone out and made that offense so much better.
No, they're doing the best they can with what they have to work with, right? They're throwing money at the problem. But give me the last team that did it this way and won.
I understand. What's
the last thing you think of that had a bad
roster? I know we're taking Brady out of the equation. So we're giving Belichick no credit at all for anything that's going on. Like, he has earned no benefit of the doubt to be able to handle it in this kind of a way.
He definitely deserves a benefit of the doubt that other coaches have not earned. There's no, you go to 9 Super Bowls and win 6, but that, I think, is why this is being portrayed publicly the way that it is, right? Like, he knows a different way to do this than everybody else. That's fine. We'll find out. This is a good test case scenario. But last year, when Tom Brady was removed from that team and 8 guys opted out on defense, all of a sudden, what happened to that team? You know, like, we always talk about the fact that talent is really what drives a team. Well, I think that's a pretty good test case last year with Bill Belichick. Remove a lot of talent and the quarterback from that team, and oh, lo and behold, the Patriots look like everybody else. They're a below 500 team playing out the string and not making the playoffs. Now, take those kinds of teams, and I've seen them firsthand. Jets had a couple below 500 teams to try to throw money at the problem. Okay, take below 500 teams that have bad rosters, throw a lot of money at the problem. Give me the example that's worked. Give me that team that's gone from 6-10 to the Super Bowl because they went out and spent $150 million in free agency. That's not the way 99% of the time a good team gets better. They might plug a couple of holes on a good roster. Like the Chiefs are a good example. They lost the tackles. They needed a big-time offensive lineman, and they threw money at the best guy available and added him to a really, really good, complete roster. That's not what the Patriots have. They're trying to plug a lot of holes with a ton of money. And most of the time, almost all of the time, it doesn't work. I can't think of an example of a team that's gone kind of from worst to first because they bought a team. He's trying to buy his way out of being a badly drafted team over the past 3 or 4 years.
Well, they didn't go from worst to first, but I think you can look at what the Bucs did last year and bringing in Brady and bringing in Gronk and bringing in significant pieces and point to that. Yes, they had a lot of their good pieces in place already, but it's supposed to be the supplement. It's Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Barton Hahn today, who are in this morning. We're going to check in with our Patriots insider in just moments, but shift this to the Jets for a moment along these lines. Yes, you have seen it with the Jets over the last several years. Yesterday, they went out and they signed Carl Lawson, and they went out and they added Corey Davis. Now, these are two guys I think are solid additions at wide receiver and edge rusher, guys who are 25, 26 years old coming to their own. But, Bob, they needed one of those top two interior offensive linemen on this market. And I know that you're talking about throwing money at the thing. I don't think that's throwing money. I think it's exactly what Joe Douglas has been talking about, supplementing. Are the Chiefs a more attractive situation than the Jets? Absolutely. But if you had to overpay a little bit more to try to get Thuney, or not completely disregard Lindsey, like I've heard, then I think that, you know, you've made a mistake here by not addressing the interior of that offensive line.
I don't think that's where they are. And I think they're admitting that not spending the kind of money, like overpay, they gave $100 million to Tooney instead of $80 million and bought him. Like, they won two games last year. And for a while there, it looked like they might not win any. Okay, get the best guard in football and put him on that team. How much better are they? If he goes out and eats up 30%, 35% of their available cap room, they go from what to what? As opposed to trying to spread that around, plug as many holes as possible with, as you said,
that last year,
guys that are
work.
In like the 25, 26-year-old range.
Yeah, but they did that last year. They went, they tried to get Jack Conklin. They didn't. And then they spread it around, and that offensive line didn't get a whole lot better last year.
Well, you know where it got better? It got better at left tackle. And you know how they got the left tackle? They drafted him, which to me proves what they want to do long term, which is they want to draft their team and supplement it with free agents when they get good, if they're going to go out and spend money for the top of the market Tooney type. That's not what these guys are. Like, they got Carl Lawson isn't Judon, and Corey Davis isn't Juju. You know, they didn't go for the highest priced guy. They went for guys that are in their mid 20s, that have a ceiling, you know, that look like they might be long term guys. But I think Corey Davis is now like the 21st highest paid wide receiver in the NFL. And they got him on the free agent market for a mid range contract. He makes them better. They didn't go get Randy Moss. They got Corey Davis. So he'll help. But I still think when you ask Joe Douglas, how are they actually going to build this? They're building it through the draft. They're not going to go out and throw money at every big name on the free agent market. They're not going to do that.
I agree, but there are so many holes on the team that you can't do it all through the draft immediately.
No
There's
doubt.
So much going on here in the AFC East, and of course the Patriots have been the big story. This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Now we go out to the Goodyear Hotline to welcome in our Patriots insider, Mike Reese, who joins Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn today. Mike, I mean, you've been busier probably than any other beat reporter out there the last 2 days. So what have been your impressions of all these signings for the Patriots and Bill Belichick?
Chris and Bob, I have a piece up on ESPN.com, and I had a little fun with my first two sentences. It reads this way: Billy Big Bucks, what has gotten into you? I mean, we have never seen Bill Belichick spend the money like this in 21 years with the Patriots. So that's my first reaction. And then when I drill down deeper, there's sort of a method to the Patriots' madness here. And without getting too deep into the salary cap weeds, I'm just going to break it down pretty simply. It's they believe they might have capitalized on a market inefficiency. The NFL cap has gone down for the first time in a decade. Because of that, the Patriots see more quality players hitting the market that otherwise wouldn't have, with less teams competing to sign them because everyone's tight to the cap and they have the money to spend, so they're going after it. Whether that approach works, it's going to be fascinating to see.
Yeah, they've spent money, Mike, at a level that nobody else in the NFL has spent it. I mean, Adam Schefter, I guess, put this up. I don't know if the math has, if their next signing will put them over the top, but it sounds like they may end up throwing more guaranteed money out there than any team in free agency history in a year where the cap has gone down. So how much are they mortgaging the future to try and cover up right now for all of the holes on this roster?
Well, it's such a great point that you make with that, because what they're projecting is that the cap is going to spike considerably in the upcoming years with the new television deals that are coming down the pike. So they're strategizing that we're going to go all in right now, and we have the cap space and the cash to spend, and these deals that everyone's talking about are top of the market or high paying deals, they're going to actually look a lot better, almost like a bargain, 2-3 years from now. And the other point would be that they feel like they're investing in players in the prime years of their career, 25, 26, 27 years old. So that's the strategy. But your other thought was right on too. They have so many holes, and part of the reason they needed to do this was that they don't have the young players on their roster that they've drafted and developed, and that, to me, would be the big risk in their approach.
Mike Reese, our Patriots insider for ESPN NFL Nation, joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris and Bob in for the boys today. Mike, when you look at all of the holes that they've had, a good portion of those holes have been created by not drafting terribly well over the last several years. When they look at that process and the fact that it hasn't played out how it was, how much will Belichick do to, or has he done, to kind of address their evaluation of prospects moving forward?
So that's going to be interesting because they're in transition, right? Their longtime director of player personnel, Nick Caserio, is now down in Houston as general manager. So Dave Ziegler has sort of stepped up and taken a lead role in the personnel department. Will that make a difference? I mean, we'll see. Bill's still the one, everyone says, making the final call when all is said and done. So to me, that's sort of an open-ended question that the answer really isn't defined right now. I would say if this approach in free agency is any indication with how aggressive they've been, it wouldn't surprise me if they do change some things that they've sort of been operating off of script-wise in the draft the last few years to try to change it up.
Mike, was I wrong to read bringing Cam Newton back as an early signal that the Patriots will draft a quarterback early, especially potentially in the first round?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think you're wrong at all. To me, the Cam thing is, I didn't sense it was necessarily their first choice, but maybe what they felt like was their best choice relative to the other free agent options on the market. So they're weighing it out and they're saying, you know, we know Cam, we had him here for a year. We probably didn't put him in the best position, you know, with not great receivers and tight ends around him. So we have that versus, should we go for a Ryan Fitzpatrick, a Jameis Winston, Mitch Trubisky? And I think they ultimately came to the conclusion that Cam, with the opportunity to try to build off 2020, which didn't always look so hot, was still their best choice. Well, they continue to look for the long-term answer. And I think that sort of last part of the sentence is so important. They're not telling you Cam is necessarily the answer as much as a placeholder until they find that player.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this. I'll simplify it, maybe overly simplifying it. They were a 7-9 team last year, third in their own division. Bills and Dolphins both won double-digit games. Do you think they're better than 9-7 now? If they've got Cam Newton at quarterback with what they've done to this point in free agency, getting the guys back on defense, how much better is this roster? Two games better or better than that?
So I would say two plus, but I also want to caution it, right? Like, how many times have we been down this road where a team makes these big signings in March and it doesn't end up working out the way they hoped that it would, right? Like, everyone's excited, and then it's, you know, whether it's the dream team back a decade with the Eagles, you know, stuff like that. So I'm cautious, but I give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt because I feel like he sort of earned it, right, with all his success. And I felt like last year at the start of the year, it looked pretty good before Cam Newton got COVID, and then sort of the whole year was turned upside down. So they were 7-9. They easily could have been 9-7 last year, in my view. So I'm going to say 2-plus right now, but cautiously so.
Mike Reese covers the Patriots for ESPN NFL Nation. Mike, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, that's Mike Reese on the Goodyear Hotline. And look, it's going to continue to be crazy here the next couple of days, Bob. But I also I look at this from a standpoint of using what you have to get better. And this is what the Patriots have right now to get better. It may be a formula that hasn't worked for other teams before, but at the same time, I don't really see where they have a whole lot of other options.
I agree with you. They're taking the only option that's available to them. Like what Mike just said, before he said we're going to give Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt, the first half of his statement, how many times have we seen a team do something like this? Everyone gets excited, and it doesn't work out. Hello? Jets broadcaster here. Like, how many times have I seen them do this? Throw a bunch of money at it, and all of a sudden in March and April, Jet fans, oh, we got Le'Veon Bell. Oh, C.J. Mosley's coming. Oh, this is great. We got the best offensive guy. We got the best defensive guy. And then what does it turn into? Sustained success in the NFL 99% of the time is built through the draft. If you draft poorly, you're not going to be able to throw money at it to cover it up. Maybe Bill Belichick, again, is going to solve the Rubik's Cube, crack the code, and do something nobody else can do. But history tells us this is the wrong way to try and win.
All right, your opportunity to tell Bob why he's wrong. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take your calls, get your impressions of the Patriots. Have they gotten better in just moments? And the updated free agent list, everything you need to know about what's going on and how it affects your team. In just moments, we'll also get into the Jets a little bit deeper and why exactly this was a big miss for them yesterday. But first of all, it's, of course, tournament time right now. And Bob, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy, is celebrating with $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. And when you enter free DraftKings $1 million survivor pool, you could get a shot at winning $10,000 for every upset through the first two rounds of the tournament. Get in on all of this week's action. Download the DraftKings app, enter code BART during sign-up to enter the free $1 million survivor pool. That's code BART to enter DraftKings' free $1 million survivor pool. Eligibility, restrictions, and terms and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com. for details. How the rest of the AFC East is dealing with the Patriots and why it matters. It's next. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Chris Carlin, along with Bob Wischusen, in for Bart and Hahn today on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Let us go out and hit the phones. I'm excited to hear why Bob is wrong and so many people agree with me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We start with Chris in Philly up first on Bart and Hahn. Chris, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, listen, I disagree with y'all when y'all say that scheme doesn't work about spending money. For example, I'm an Eagles fan. In the 2017 free agency in the summer, the Philadelphia Eagles went and got the following names. They got Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, Nick Foles, Chris Long, Alshon Jeffery, and Torrey Smith. They won the Super Bowl, but they also took a cap hit. So I think the Patriots are going ahead in that same trajectory as far as spending all that money. And, it's going to hurt them long term. I think that's what I think.
Well, Chris, here's the problem with it, though. The only thing, first of all, they also brought in Alshon Jeffery during free agency. Ajayi, Blount, those were guys they added a little bit later on. Ajayi was the trade during the season, but they didn't spend a ton. Bob, that was a lot more about supplementing and about drafting a little bit better, but it wasn't like they spent an absolute ton. Frankly, let's call it what it is. They brought in Nick Foles to be a backup, and they got fortunate in that situation.
They didn't draft Nick Foles? I thought they drafted Nick Foles.
They did, but remember, they had to bring him back because he had left.
Right, but whatever. He was
Yeah.
He was one of their guys. Look, if you look at that roster, I think what they did with free agency, very similar to the Chiefs going out, saying we got a really, really good team, and we're going to plug a hole where we need a spot to be plugged with a high-priced guy. But their two best offensive linemen, if I remember right, Kelce and Lane Johnson were both their guys. Their best defensive lineman, Fletcher Cox, was their guy. You know, they had a very talented team through their own draft, I agree with you, and supplemented it. I'm not saying you can't use free agency as a tool. Free agency is absolutely a tool to make your team better. But if you've got a bad team, thinking you're going to buy your way out of it solely using free agency to account for all of your good players, that has been proven time and time again to be a bad way to try to build a roster in the NFL.
And Carson Wentz came into his own, and that year, for the first half until he got hurt, really, and you know, later in the season, was the MVP of the league. That didn't hurt either. Ox in Jersey is up next. Ox, what's going on, buddy?
Yo, guys, Chris, I think you're great. Bob, man, I've been listening to you all these years. I love your voice, but I think you're absolutely crazy. I think you've gotten the green haze of the Jets over you after all these years. I mean, yes, if they were 3-13 last year, you would say they were a bad team. I actually thought last year Belichick was telling his defensive players to take a year off and relax so they could tank and get a number one or two pick and go for Trevor. But he ended up going 7-9 with backups. So add 8 players that you didn't do anything to, and now 5 or 6 free agents, which is a lot. But most of this money now, the way they play with the money, and it's all up front, and in 3 years, most of it's going to be gone or just spread out over a 10-year period anyway. I think, and with Cam Newton, who last year had COVID, no preseason, coming off a massive surgery and injury, now we've got, and this is not just anybody, although he won't be the MVP he was, this is a talented dude who wants to be the best of the best like Tom wanted to be, studying for an extra year under Belichick.
All right, Ox, real quick. All right, hang on a second. Let me ask you a question. Ox, two years ago, did the Jets have a good team?
Yes, they did, yes.
Not this past year, 2 years ago. Did the Jets have a good roster 2 years ago?
No, they did not. They did not, no. They was okay.
What was their record?
The problem is, two years
what
were ago.
What was their record was the 2 years ago?
2 years ago, we were 7-9. No.
Okay.
No, we weren't.
Well, I'm saying, if you want to tell me 7-9 means you're this close to winning, and you need to just go out and spend a bunch of money to get from 7-9 to winning, I've seen that before with my own eyes.
You're right. But you're not saying that. You're saying 7-9. Add 8 players that took the year off. Not like 8 players that took the year off in 7-9, and then fill in a couple more gaps with some really good players. Now, I think what the Jets are doing now is, instead of paying 5 high-placed players, we're going to try to get 9 B-level players for the same money and end up spending it that way, and that might work too, but we tried to do that last year.
I thank Oxen. Thanks for the call. The Jets definitely got better yesterday in doing what they did, in signing 2 guys who feel like they're on the doorstep of breaking out. I mean, Lawson is a guy that was very highly rated as a pass rusher last season, not great against the run. Davis averaged 16 yards a catch last season. He was the 5th overall pick of the draft, and he really hasn't put it together yet. I think the Jets did some really good things here. But, Bob, my point about this is that, yes, free agency is about supplementing. I am in no way suggesting that the Jets were on the doorstep of winning and that the number one piece that they needed to put them over the hump was Joe Thuney. But they did need a veteran, really, really good interior offensive lineman to join this group and to be a supplement. Again, this is, I believe, 100%. Joe Douglas has done an amazing job at putting this team in great position for the future and may even get more in terms of draft picks before draft day. I think they're playing it beautifully. But when you have all that cap room and you choose not to use it on an area of need for your football team, I just don't want to hear about in the future how you have all that cap room when you chose not to use it.
I don't think you chose not to use it. I bet they made Thuney an offer. He probably took the better offer with the better team. I mean, I don't know
Lindsley,
whether or not they actually put an offer in front of him.
My question would be that 2 days ago, Lindsley is regarded as the second best offensive lineman that's available in free agency, yet they seem to have no interest in him whatsoever when they could have signed him and moved McGovern back to guard where he was a natural fit. Again, either one of those guys to me would have been a big addition.
We can take another call.
Wow. Wow. Brendan in Jersey. I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't mean to make you dejected. Brendan, what's up?
You made me sad.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to kind of build off what the last caller was saying about how Bob's a little wrong there about comparing the Jets and the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots were bad last year. I mean, wrong. It was.
I'm not comparing the Jets to the Patriots. You're missing the point if you think I'm comparing the Jets to the Patriots.
You're comparing how the Jets do what they do, and then comparing it so that the Patriots are going to fall into the same trap. But the difference is the Patriots have great coaching. I mean, that's the difference in football. Yeah, your talent is very important. And the Patriots had no talent last year. But if an untalented roster, their floor is 7-9, I mean, they only need to get some talent, and they're going to coach everything back up. Not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl, but they're going to be right in it in the playoff contention. They're going to be in the playoffs. They, you know, they could, you know, make a run at it. Belichick's a great coach, and that's the difference between all the other bad teams in history that are under 500 that throw all this money to try to fix the problem. Their inconsistency in coaching was really their biggest problem. I mean, we always talk about it. Everything starts at the top. You need to have a good system, a good foundation, and, you know, you build from there. The Patriots have always been always steady and consistent in what they do. And, yeah, granted, this is a different way that they go about it, but I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think they got good players at a decent price. I mean, the numbers are not as high as what people think they really are, and they're going to be right back in it next year.
You know what, Brenna, you might be right, and this will be the test case of that theory, because everyone, if they're going to put a Mount Rushmore of coaches up, Bill Belichick is George Washington. I mean, he's the first face on Mount Rushmore in the history of team sports, maybe. But he's never tried to do it like this. He's always had Tom Brady. They've supplemented with free agents on a really good team. They've gone out and gotten like a Randy Moss when they needed a big wide receiver and plugged him in. They have never tried to replace the fact that they don't have a good foundation with free agency. If there's a coach that can prove that this theory can work when many others have failed trying it, it's probably Bill Belichick. But let's just understand, he's never tried to do it this way. And when others have tried to do it this way, generally speaking, it's failed. We'll see.
Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen, filling in for Bart and Han here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. As always, brought to you by Progressive. Meanwhile, in the NBA last night was a major weakness of the Nets exposed. We will discuss that. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. The Knicks exposing the Nets last night. We discuss in moments on Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Nets got it done, but maybe a little bit of a weakness exposed. We discuss. It's Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen in for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And speaking of which, getting it done is brought to you by Grainger. End of the game last night, the Nets got it done, or did maybe the officials get it done, or did maybe Julius Randle just screw it up? Because last possession last night, Knicks had an opportunity to beat the Nets. They had played really good defense, especially late in the game, got some tie-ups, gave themselves an opportunity, and Julius Randle with the basketball went up, had it touched at least, and Bob, in my estimation, did not make the play he needed to, because if he lets the ball go after it gets touched and he goes back down, you don't get called for a travel in that situation.
That's probably true. I mean, how are you supposed to second-guess a guy in that nanosecond of a moment making a reaction and not realizing
he should
throw his hands open? You know, look, to me, the bigger issue in that game is the fact that the Nets, as good as they are, even without Durant, we're talking about a team that's 14-1 in its last 15 games, letting a team that is so much less talented than them back in the game. And maybe that's the wider-angle lens to look at what the Nets are right now. And I guess in an admiration way, talk about what Tom Thibodeau's been able to do with the Knicks.
Well, I think there's no question that the adage continues to be proven. that if you're willing to play defense in the league, you can be in a lot of games that maybe you are completely blown away in terms of talent, and the Knicks continue to prove that night in and night out. Now, Randall was very upset, as you would expect, with the travel call. He threw a chair. He kind of had to be restrained by his teammates. Here was Kyrie on the play and what he thought based on what he saw.
Yeah, no, I was either going to foul early, but I saw him lining up for a jump shot. I felt like I could get a good hand on it. You know, Scott called travel. I thought Julius made a good play afterwards, putting it down. I was going to foul him after that just to get him to the free throw line. But, yeah, that's how it looked. That's how it went.
Even Kyrie thought he made a decent play on it. Look, I do think that it wasn't the wrong call in that instance. But, Bob, my biggest issue with the Nets continues to be this, and I know it's been a little bit improved. It's the fact that while we're talking about the Knicks defensively, we will just not talk about the Nets defensively all season because they don't play enough of it, and they don't do it in crunch time. And there's going to come a time in the postseason where I truly believe that's going to come back and haunt them, and I think it's ultimately going to keep them from winning a title this year.
You and I are on the same page with this. We've been talking about this since they made the Harden trade, right? And the culture that you bring in when you bring – now, look, James Harden having a 15-15-15 night last night, first in Nets history, Kyrie doing what he does, and Durant's not even here. And, like, if we were talking about a team that went 14-1 over their last 15, had these three players playing at this level or capable of playing at this level, like it was – the Clay, Steph, KD Warriors, or go back to the Bulls of the 90s, we wouldn't be questioning anything about this team. All we would be doing is enjoying the winning. But if the Nets played as hard as the Knicks play, the Nets beat the Knicks last night by 30, right?
Yep, absolutely. And if they defend like it, absolutely. There is no question about it. They did,
so the question,
get it done. Well, it is brought to you by Grainger, Bob. I've got to get into sponsor here. Come on, just settle down. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. In moments, we get an expert's perspective. Jay Will joins us. We'll discuss this next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.